Yamaraj, speaking to the queens, giving examples of how life works, or how life really works, not the way people think it works. Usually, people have this conception of how best to do things, but one cannot see beyond one's own abilities and intelligence. Therefore, nothing is ever perfectly arranged by anyone in this world. Everyone is under the influence of higher power, either the material energy, which is Krishna's external energy, called Bahiranga Shakti. It works in such a way as that one approaches the material energy to try to control it, or try to manipulate it in order to somehow control it. But one is controlled by the same energy. That's the nature of this material attempt to try to somehow or other control things. One cannot control something that is beyond one's control, because Krishna is, or the Supreme Lord is, the controller of all energies. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. Hey nuna pavakanteya jagad vipar vipartante. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, nothing is outside of my jurisdiction or influence. His energies are working perfect and he's in full control at all times, either directly through the spiritual energy or indirectly through the material energy. This is a very important point to know, because generally the conditioned soul is one who's seeing things in a limited sense. But yet, because of their limited sense of seeing, they cannot understand actually what is happening or how things actually work. It's just like if you look at a house, you may describe it a little bit, but you can never understand, you know, all the details of the house, nor how the house was really built. You would have to go to the one who built the house and get all the information. And so some sense perception or intellectual arrangements based on previous experiences or others' previous experiences doesn't allow one to really understand how things work. So here is explained using what we say very extreme examples to make the point clear. Yamaraj is speaking that a person may lose money on a public street. It's the word public is given here, not a small one. And still, no one sees it. And yet, the money is returned to the owner somehow. Whereas a person may have big plans to protect their own wealth and possessions in their house with big safes and so many other burglar alarms and other things that are provided by today's society, yeah, but at the same time, it gets lost. So what does that mean? That means that one's endeavors are really not the conclusion of the outcome. The outcome is not really based on one's endeavors. There's a certain energy or element there that is what is called destiny and the will of the Supreme Lord. So in the material world, everyone has their destiny. They can't change it because they work according to the laws of material nature. And their destiny is already, what we say, determined by their activities under the influence of the material energy. So just like there are facilities that where one can move forward and backward within time. Time is an energy, and it works in such a way that it brings about three phases of existence, past, present, and future. But one who knows how to manipulate the material energy can also move forward in time and see the future. So we might say, well, how is that possible? The future hasn't even happened. But on another plane, it has happened. But we're on this plane of limited understanding, and we think that everything is happening in the present. But it's not. Time is actually taking care of all three aspects at once, past, present, and future. This is material. This is not spiritual at all. So if you could go forward in time, if a materialist could go forward in time, they could see what would happen to them in the future, and they could come back into the present and then think of how to function in that way. So when people say, well, how is that possible? That's the nature of the material energy, that everything is already happening. The material energy is actually, it's three-dimensional, but it's also four-dimensional. Four-dimensional is the subtle aspect, and time actually exists on the subtle level, not on the gross level. So, but for a devotee can actually change their destiny completely and can get a complete different destiny simply by doing one thing, taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. So what is destined to happen will change by one's, what we say, engagement in devotional service, taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Prabhupada uses the example of Prahlad Maharaj, how he was harassed by his father in so many ways. If you look at the comparison, what was Prahlad to his father in terms of power? He was just a little boy, 5 years old. And he was very much obedient to his father at the same time. But his father was trying so much to make him the way he wanted him to be. That's the way parents are, yes? They want to make the children just the way they want them, the children, to be. But this is a whole other theme, and what happens is you take the Krishna conscious and the parents get fried, right? So that's another point. So that's what happened to Hiranyakashipu. He got fried. What's this? Taking shelter of who's Vishnu? Don't you know I'm the supreme power in creation? He was thinking like that. He was so arrogant and so proud of his own powers that he couldn't conceive of anyone even greater than him. And he had planned it that way, to be what we say the supreme power. And so therefore when his little child was resisting him, you know, he became more and more upset, and finally he used strong means to try to, what we say, make Prahlad obey him by actually attempting to kill him. But what happened? He tried so many ways. If you read the story, it's coming up, actually. Look what Prahlad had to go through. This is not some mythology or some story. This is actual historical fact. Prahlad had to go through, you know, being thrown in, off a cliff under stampeding elephants, thrown into an ocean with a mountain thrown on top of the ocean. And he was put into boiling oil. And he was tempted to be stabbed by spears. He was, what else? He was put in fire. None of these things had any effect. Why? Because Krishna's energies work under Krishna's control. And Prahlad had full dependence on Krishna. Not only did he take shelter of Krishna, but he knew Krishna would protect him. Sometimes we think, if I take shelter, will Krishna protect me? We're not sure, right? We know we should take shelter, but then we wonder, well, we'll get the protection or not. But Prahlad didn't have that doubt. He knew, even in the most dangerous circumstances, that him simply by taking shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was nothing else to do. That was the perfection. And that's what he did all the time anyway. So when it came to being in a dangerous situation, he wasn't any different than what he normally was. For him to take shelter was what he always did. And so the Lord showed his mercy upon this pure devotee by thwarting and frustrating in so many ways the attempts of Hiranyakashipu to kill him. So, and Srila Prabhupada gives an interesting example, I mean interesting statement Prabhupada said. He said, you can be like Prahlad also. He says, don't try to make an experiment by putting yourself in boiling oil. He said, don't try that. But by taking shelter of devotional service as Sri Prahlad did, one also gets the same position as Sri Prahlad. Because Krishna is the same. He never changes. So, therefore, when one takes shelter of the Lord, as Prabhupada sums up the whole point of this purport in the last statement, therefore, everything is dependent on the free will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he says, our only duty, it's not like we have so many duties. Think about this. We think in terms of so many duties we have to do. But if we don't do the first duty, all the other duties really can't really fulfill the requirements we expect from those things, because they're dependent really on the mercy of the Lord. So when we surrender to Krishna, as Prabhupada said, our only duty is to surrender unto him and seek his protection. So it sounds like there's two things there. Through the surrendering process, we also seek his protection. And protection comes in two ways. Sometimes the general people think when we say protection, we're thinking about inauspiciousness. When something is about bad to happen to you, evil physically or mentally or emotionally or something. But there's another kind of protection that is of the opposite nature. Protection from getting attracted to the so-called sense objects of this world that bring about what we say the illusion of material pleasures. That kind of protection also. So the devotee seeks that also, not to be attracted by those things that everyone else is attracted by in this world. So that's also dangerous. So therefore, devotee takes shelter of the Supreme Lord also to take full protection against all aspects. So the question may also come, who do we take shelter of? Is it Krishna? Is it Nrisimhadev? Is it Prabhupada? Is it the holy name? Good question, huh? This is a good point for discussion. Of course, I've heard different stories, but Prabhupada says take shelter of the Supreme Lord. But we know that Lord Nrisimhadev is especially inclined to give protection against what we say dangers in this world. Lord Nrisimhadev does three things. One who takes shelter of Lord Nrisimhadev gets three aspects of his mercy. One, he protects about from dangers, such as if anyone tries to physically harm one, or even from ghosts, evil spirits, and bad dreams. And these are Lord Nrisimhadev's category. He also destroys fruitive activities within the heart. Prahlad Maharaj prays in the fifth canto, praying to Lord Nrisimhadev to please remove those desires for sense gratification that are deeply rooted within the heart, and destroy these desires by your mercy. And the third thing is he gives protection against the illusions of material happiness, the so-called attractions that everyone is so much attracted by. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur speaks about this when he glorifies Lord Nrisimhadev. Although Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a devotee, his actual internal mood is that he's a gopi in Vrindavan. He even reveals his actual internal identity through his works. But still he prays to Lord Nrisimhadev to help him get to that stage of pure devotion to Krishna through giving protection and destroying illusions and at the same time removing material desires. So Lord Nrisimhadev is there, of course. There are many stories about the life of Lord Nrisimhadev. I think the devotees in I heard this story from the Sankirtan devotees many years ago. They were doing Harinam Sankirtan in Germany, in a place called Hamburg. And they were chanting and dancing on the streets and going. And they went to one area which was kind of a very popular area for people to congregate and get intoxicated like that. Very low-class area. So they went into that area and they were chanting and dancing, and one big, ferocious person, he became angry when he saw the devotees. Intoxicated, he came running at the devotees. The devotees, and some of them left, but the The main devotee said, just chant Hare Krishna. I mean, just take shelter of Lord Nisringadev, Lord Nisringadev. So they start chanting the Nisringa mantra. The man was coming from a distance. So when he got really close to the devotees, something amazing happened. His body just went straight up in the air and came down flat on his back. And because it was such a popular area for people to congregate, the police and the ambulance were right there. And immediately they diagnosed him. He had a heart attack. So, of course, devotees are happy when demons are killed, yes? Sringadev ki jai. So, this is an example how the Lord protects his devotees. There's so many stories about Lord Nisringadev. I mean, I could spend another hour just telling you Nisringadev pastimes about how he protects his devotee. But then again, one devotee told me this story. I heard this story through another devotee who told him that he was being attacked by ghosts. So he said, Krishna, 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 Krishna. The ghost practically laughed at him, you know. Nothing happened, you know. So then he started calling out to Nisringadev, and the ghost still didn't go. Then he said, Prabhupada! And as soon as he said Prabhupada, the ghost was gone. Because there's an interesting point in taking shelter of Krishna as opposed to taking shelter of the spiritual master. If you can remember this point, this whole class is worth it. The point is that when you take shelter of Krishna, Krishna sometimes wonders, are you really taking shelter of me? You sure? Is it really? Or do you really want sense gratification? So Krishna may not always give full protection, but if you take shelter of Srila Prabhupada, the spiritual master, or your own spiritual master, is dedicated to destroying your maya. So he's more enthusiastic to get rid of maya for you than you are to get rid of your own maya. So therefore, his mercy is the supreme mercy when it comes to taking shelter. It's a fact. The spiritual master is there. Because Krishna will give you a choice when you take shelter. Okay, you're taking shelter, but do you really? Are you really taking shelter of me, or do you really want sense gratification? So, of course, Krishna will give protection. But the best, as I heard it from Pankajungri and Janani Vas and others, that take shelter of Prabhupada, the spiritual master, and immediately, you know, that type of shelter destroys inauspiciousness. Because the spiritual master is more concerned with the devotee's progress than the devotee is, really, in the real sense. Because he gives his life in order for the devotees to make progress. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. So, Sanatan Goswami, in his prayers, he explains that there are six symptoms of the process of surrender. To accept things that are favorable for devotional service, things that are according to scripture and according to instructions of the spiritual master must be done. One should do these things. And one should avoid things that are unfavorable. Of course, sometimes we're not sure what is the unfavorable things. We know most of them. But sometimes we fall into the pit of getting involved with speaking gossip or nonsense or prajalpa, not knowing how destructive that is to our spiritual life. So that's very unfavorable. Associating with non-devotees in order to enjoy that association, or even associating with devotees who are not serious in their spiritual practice, who are not really wanting to really practice devotional service, those who just in name only are executing devotional service. They're called Dharma Dwajis. Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives a very strong, he said, these are the most dangerous association. Imitation devotees. They come to devotional service, not for devotional service. They come simply to improve their material situation or to get some position, some power, or something like that. That's their main goal. course, it's hard to detect that, but such association, when you do take it, you'll start to feel that you're not being inspired by such. So we should carefully avoid that kind of association. And, of course, the other four principles is Krishna is my only protector, Krishna is my only maintainer, and I depend on Krishna in every circumstance. Always my provider, maintainer, protector. And the last one is humility. Because without humility, one cannot execute the other five properly. Prahlad he didn't call out his armies to give protection. He just humbly took shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in his heart, he had no doubt that the Lord would give him protection. So humility really means to have full faith in the Lord in every circumstance. Depend on the Lord. Krishna gives us abilities, and we may use our abilities in devotional service, but the success of our execution of devotional service is not really dependent on our abilities. It's dependent on our enthusiasm coupled with humility. When we're enthusiastic, that brings about Krishna's mercy, but when it's coupled with humility, that brings about the full mercy of the Lord. So this is the process of surrender. And that's Prabhupada's last statement in the purport, that one's only duty is to seek shelter of him. And we shouldn't have any doubt that whatever we desire in our Krishna consciousness, in terms of whatever else we need, will not be provided by the process of surrender. Whenever you surrender, Krishna gives you more and more. The process of surrender brings up everything. Shri Guru Charanirati, Ese Utamagati, Ese Prasadi Purve Sarva As. By taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, all of one's desires automatically become fulfilled. And Krishna fulfills his desires, and your desires, through his spiritual master in two ways. One, he gives you what you desire, and two, he gives you something better. Either way, you're a winner, so you can't lose. He gives you something better than what you may want. Therefore, it requires some patience, enthusiasm, determination, and patience. Because sometimes we are enthusiastic and we're also somewhat determined, but we expect results quickly, and that doesn't necessarily happen. Krishna wants to see how enthusiastically and determined we are in terms of, you know, just not immediate. It's the way of the world. When people do something, they expect results. But devotional service is a cultivation of the mood of devotional service. When we continually cultivate that mood of enthusiastic devotional service coupled with humility and determination, and then gradually patience automatically becomes easy because we're happy in devotional service. When you're happy, you don't expect anything. So when you're not happy or you're expecting something, that you start to become impatient. When you're happy, your happiness is the expectation you're looking for. It's actually the success of your execution. So one doesn't have to make separate arrangements. Therefore, bhakti really means faith. Karma means activities, jnana means knowledge, bhakti means faith. That's the Acharyas explained. Bhakti is a process of faith. To have faith in the Lord, to have faith in the process, and to have faith in the instructions of the spiritual master. And we might also add, to have faith in one's own ability to achieve success. No one is, what we say, unqualified for perfection. Everyone has the qualifications, because the qualifications are coming by way of the mercy of the Lord. The qualities that are necessary to bring about the mercy, that we have. We can cultivate, that we have to practice. But the success comes by the mercy. And as we learned in the pastime of Krishna being chased by his mother, when she wanted to tie him up, It was only by his mercy that he was tied up. When he decided to get tied up, then she tied him up. Otherwise, she couldn't catch him. And even when she did catch him, she couldn't tie him up because Krishna didn't want to get tied up. So therefore, this pastime teaches something very significant. We have to be by like Mother Yasoda, but we should know that without Krishna's mercy, only with Krishna's mercy, then success comes. So everyone has the opportunity for perfection as long as we have faith in the process. And faith is not idle. Sometimes people say, there's faith and there's works. I have faith and you have works. But actually, faith is works in action. That's what it is. I'm sorry. Works is faith in action. When you actually show your faith by your activities and by your, what we say, whatever you do is an expression of your faith in bhakti. Like that. Okay. So, any questions? Comments? Yes. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna. Sorry for my voice. Kirtan, I lost my voice a little bit.